It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get up, get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
This is Dalton Kincaid and you're listening to Roster Watch.
Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the universe, this is Roster Watch. My name is Alex Dunlap, here with Cody Carpentier for the big Roster Watch fantasy preview show for week two. So happy to be here with you, and thanks for everybody tuning in on the podcast and on the YouTube feeds. We have a bunch to get through today, but first I got to just tell you, go to rosterwatch.com and get a pro membership. You can get access to all of our rankings. You can get access to the DFS cheat sheets, the Hyper DFS lineup generator, the player prop cheat sheets for use on Underdog and Prize Picks or wherever you do your player props, you know, all that stuff for you, as well as the sit start thread on Sunday mornings, where if you have questions about who to sit and who to start, get personalized advice from Cody Trashman and I, and sometimes Byron there in the sit start thread. You can also get the Blitz walkthrough that I just got done recording with Derek Carty and TJ Zwarich, which walks you through position by position the entire DFS main slate. So we're going to talk about some of this stuff, some of our favorite plays, some games that we're interested in, some rankings disputes that we have, as well as some of our favorite props, and maybe some, you know, just some stuff where Cody and I will donk around and talk about which of these bets that we like for our Cockamamie Circa contest this weekend. Cody, let's start out by talking about a game that you were super interested in, the Buffalo Bills, the New York Jets. Buffalo comes into this one as 6-point favorites, a 47.5-point total. It looks like 48% of the tickets here on the Buffalo Bills, 58% of the money. It's maybe a little bit of a sharp lean there for Buffalo. Looking at the Roster Watch matchup tool, Buffalo here and the New York Jets. That New York Jets defense, based on, you know, 1 week of data from this season, but mainly, you know, stuff that we'd had coming into the year as far as our projection, this shows up as a top 10 matchup across the board for all the positions for the Buffalo Bills in a game that does have a relatively high total. As far as the New York Jets facing a really good borderline top 10 matchups here for Buffalo across the board, except for at the tight end position where it's middling to maybe a little bit bad there for the Jets. Not that there's really a tight end of consequence that we're interested in on the Jets side, especially with Mason Taylor. I think he's still questionable for this week, right? The other thing too with Buffalo is I believe Ed Oliver has been ruled. Is Ed Oliver out?
Oliver's out, yeah.
Okay, so Oliver's out. That's been taken into account here on the matchup tool. What are your thoughts, man? What do you think whenever you think about this football game? To me, it starts out with Justin Fields, and if we can see a repeat performance of just what was a dazzling week one.
I think that was the biggest thing I kind of wrote down, was like, is the biggest question for week two for me is like, is the Justin Fields week one performance a mirage? Because it's like, yeah, he practiced every day last year against that Steelers defense that, you know, gained some pieces on that back end, but he's got this great connection with Garrett Wilson. And I kind of believe that 40% target share is pretty sustainable. It kind of sounds wild, but I think it's pretty sustainable for the length of their season when you look at everybody else that was in that room Josh Reynolds ran 100% of routes last week, 70% target share, only scored like 3.8 fantasy points. Everybody else, it's like Tyler Johnson barely played very much. Mason Taylor ran 84% of routes, Jeremy Ruckert 24%. And I, like you said, Mason Taylor's banged up. That would be a direction you might think could potentially grow with the Ruckert or Mason Taylor. But I don't know. I think the only thing I really care about really for the Jets is Justin Fields in DFS this week, especially with his price. I think he's at 5,700, I think, on DraftKings. And then on FanDuel, he's at 7,600. So he's a lot like it's a better value on DraftKings this week. And then the backfield. I thought this was an interesting stat that Breece Hall had just a 58% team snap share last week, 51% of the rush share. But he was the only running back in week one to rush for more than 4 yards per carry, with more than a 20% of his snaps coming with 8-plus men in the box. Everybody else that was in this category, that was north of 20%. You had James Cook, who rushed for 3.4, Chase Brown ran for 2, Josh Jacobs 3.5, Dobbins 3.9, and Saquon faced that 66% of the time and ran for south of 4 yards per carry. Breece Hall was the most efficient back.
He looked awesome
in week one.
He looked awesome last week. What, 21 touches, I think?
And I think he can continue to build on that. Like we walked in obviously believing that like this was going to be a 50-50 split. They told us they were going to run the hell out of the ball and that Braylon out would be, you know, some kind of like David Montgomery, and Hall would be more in that Gibbs role and catch more passes, which can still be true. But I mean, the way he looked, that was, I think the number one takeaway when I did the takeaway show last week was Breece Hall. Like that was, I remember sitting, you know, with you watching the games last Sunday, and it was like, that was off the rip. The first drive of the game, we're like, Breece Hall looks different. And so I love Breece Hall this week, but not as much as I like Justin Fields, who I boosted up into the top five. Again, I think he was QB4 last week, and I think he should be right on that same category. I have him as QB3 this week as we start the week. Hall, I think just outside the top 12, so I have him at running back 13. Even though it's a top 10 matchup, and I think he's going to be fine. We just saw Buffalo get gashed by Baltimore this last week, giving up 238 yards on the ground. So I don't know if – you know, the Jets are going to quite do that, but I think that potentially makes Braylon Allen a little bit of a flex play as well.
Yeah. And I think if you have Buffalo, you know who you're playing. I mean, you're playing Josh Allen. Just what I wouldn't expect the game like last week. He might not do that again all season, but certainly he's, you know, one of these guys with complete nuclear upside. And for DFS, of course, I think there's some definite pay down, you know, people are going to pay down this week for like Mac Jones and stuff like that. I think it's definitely interesting in week one. It's like everybody's on Mac Jones or Justin Fields, who's a fragile kind of player who could definitely bust too. It's like, is it that bad an idea? Is it really that bad an idea in DFS to pay up for Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? I mean, it's it could be the real difference maker for you there for sure. So, you know, if you haven't been season long, of course you're playing Josh Allen. Of course you're playing, you're playing James Cook. I think that, you know, I think if you have Dalton Kincaid, it's been such a hellscape at tight end, you probably continue with him and hope he can continue to run pure there. We've gotten a lot of questions though, Cody, about Keon Coleman, about what you can do with him. I did notice that it was interesting. He was on the whole slate last week. Like if you look at the fantasy points data suite, I think he was number 13 or number 14 as far as first read percentage. Josh Allen's first read on 36% of his dropbacks last week. 24% target share. Is this sustainable? I mean, is Keon Coleman now, is he, I don't know, has he arrived? And you all, but the other thing to consider is that Aaron Glenn has been, you know, they've been doing more shadow coverage stuff. And I wonder if they consider, do they consider Keon their number one? Like, is he enough to where he gets kind of the shadow treatment? What do you think about the kind of the receiving options there for Buffalo?
I'll be honest, I'm a little bit more interested in Khalil Shakir this week. I had these guys really close together, Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir, and then I bumped Shakir ahead while doing the write up last night. Keon Coleman's $400 cheaper on DraftKings, $600 cheaper on FanDuel, and Shakir seemed like when things broke down, he was the guy that Josh Allen went to more often. And like you said, I think the Sauce Gardner matchup is big in this whole conversation. Shakir ran 43 out of 46 routes in the slot. which means obviously that role is going to be his. And I think he's a fringe wide receiver too this week. I also think Palmer's interesting. He's outside the top 50 for me, but I think he's interesting, and I think he played just enough to warrant interest. As far as like the Bills and like repeating that 41-40 performance, they've scored 40 points 13 times with Josh Allen. Once was a playoff game, the other 12. In the next game, the Bills scored 36 or more 5 times, and 4 of those were on the road. So it kind of eliminates the risk really of a letdown. They've only scored less than 20, I think, twice in those next game ups type of situation. So I think Coleman and Shakir are outside of wide receiver two territory as far as overall fantasy points this week, but they're still very playable. I don't think Coleman's going to have as big of a game. I like the Kincaid stuff from last week. Ran 60% of the routes at a 9% target share. I think that goes up. I was impressed the fact that he scored 15 fantasy points.
He's going really pure on a 9% target share for that.
Yeah, that was like the one at tight end. The most impressive thing to me at tight end was just the fact that he was able to pull in 15 fantasy points on just 9%. The biggest note that I had for the Bills, though, in this one was we talked about this in the offseason with James Cook prior to him getting that contract. It was like, well, I mean, he was out-targeted from Ty Johnson and Ray Davis 44-38 last year on the season in totality. He had 5 targets last week. You know how many times he had 5 targets last season as a whole?
No.
Twice. Three times. I just aired on that. My brain just went empty. 3 times he had 5-plus targets. He did that in the first game of the year. And, like, if that's going to be the role that we see James Cook continue in, I mean, he's going to be a top 12, top 14 running back in fantasy. A 21-point performance last week as RB4. Like, that's going to be a role that we can believe in if, again, Ty Johnson's the guy behind him getting the reps ahead of Ray Davis. It's not Ray Davis who is kind of in the RB2 spot. I think he's droppable at this stage. But Cook, if he's going to get the targets this year and have the 4, 5, 6 target games, Cook's going to be very viable.
I think that the game that I'm most interested in, just from the fantasy pieces that are associated, and if you're playing DFS or whatever, is it's the game I believe with the highest total on the main slate. That's the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals here are showing up now at Caesars as 3.5-point favorites. 46% of the tickets right now on the Cincinnati Bengals. Only 16% of the money, though. So we have a really – so 54% of the tickets are on the Jacksonville Jaguars, 84% of the money. That's – I'm using the – I'm in the RosterWatch premium download section right now where you can get the ultimate player prop cheat sheets, but also advanced matchups and all the game odds with the betting insights on them. That's all available to our premium members at RosterWatch. I'm just here looking at it. But that shows a really sharp lean, actually, towards Jacksonville and the points here, which I find interesting. Love this game. I think that it's a bounce back for Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. I love all the pieces. I think that if you played Trevor Lawrence last week, and I can understand if you were disappointed in that thing. I think it's going to be a bounce back game for him. I think it's a shootout. I think that Brian Thomas Jr. is an awesome play this week. Just continue to get him in. I'd be interested to hear from you if you're worried about Travis Hunter and them talking about maybe playing him a little bit more on defense. If they do, this would certainly be the air attack that you'd want to use him on defense, I would think. So part of me also thinks that, like, it's going to be really hard to change things up midstream with that guy every single week. It's not really a good way to treat a rookie. And then also Travis Etienne. Now Tank Bigsby's officially out of the way. I think that probably Bashaul Tutin and to a lesser degree LaQuinn Allen will come online eventually. I'm not sure they're ready to come online just yet. I love the idea of playing Travis Etienne this week. I thought he looked awesome last week. And last week that was Cincy in Cleveland, right? And with the way that Cincy, with the way that they defended against Cleveland, it led to just a bucket of throws to the running back, to Dylan Sampson. I'm not saying it's going to go that exact same way for ETN, but I think on top of the, just on top of the elevated carries and stuff like that, we could see him get some work in the receiving game. I'm super interested in getting Travis Etienne in this week, and I'm having to make lineup decisions like, do I get in, Travis Etienne over guys like, Travion Henderson and stuff like that. And it's been a pretty easy, let's get Etienne in for me. Although I do worry that I'm going to miss the Travion Henderson breakout with all the talk they've been saying about how they need to get more explosive.
Yeah, they definitely need to get more explosives. I'll be interested. I mean, that game's in Miami, right? So the heat could be a factor. I haven't quite looked into it. That's just a notorious thing for New England, struggling down there, but that's not under Vrabel. I guess the one fade I do have on this game is the Bengals tight ends in Noah Fant and Gesicki, who both ran less than 50% of the routes last week, but did have high target shares, and Fant ended up in the end zone. He had the seventh highest target share in week one. Could I be bad, you know, fading that? Maybe, but it's also not a great matchup on the Roster Watch matchup tool. The question I got for you about this Bengals side is, I expect Tyson Campbell, the cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, to predominantly cover T. Higgins. I think this might be a showing of kind of what they plan to do with Travis Hunter. They told us he's going to play more defense this week, and obviously this is the best duo of wide receivers in the NFL, so it makes sense that they would say, all right, we need to have a plan here to maybe put Travis Hunter on defense, make him cover one of these two guys. Tyson Campbell, in his last matchups against these alpha type, these big body guys, Nico Collins, Christian Watson, Michael Pittman, he's given up 94, 97, 81 to Mike Evans, 126 to Higgins 2 years ago. And then we saw Travis Hunter take five snaps last week, only allowed one reception on his one single target to McMillan. I think the Bengals could potentially have a field day in this situation. And I ranked Joe Burrow like lower than you in Trash Man. And I kind of worried myself about it because I was like writing it up and I was like, if I love these receivers so much, is it bad of me to be low? And he's still QB1, but lower on Joe Burrow. Is that just a bad process? He's 0-5 in week 2 in his career. He's 2-9 in the first 2 weeks of the season of his career. We thought he was going to get off the schneid last week. He didn't. And I look back to last year and tried to see like, all right, if I think both Higgins and Chase are going to smash this week, how many times have they both smashed and both been wide receiver ones in top 12 finishes? Nine times out of 12 games in 2024, they both finished as top 12 wide receivers in a given week together. So I was entirely impressed about that. And I just don't, do you think like you and Trash Man obviously have him in the top 5. I have him number 10 overall. Like, did you have a thought process there? Were you just like, it's a good matchup, so I'm just going to ride with it, or what?
No, well, I mean, I just, for me, it's just the same thing. It's the same thing that you were thinking. I was like, well, let's see. I have T Higgins as a wide receiver one, but a low end wide receiver one this week. I have Jamar Chase as my number three receiver on the week. And that just has to do with Justin Jefferson having, you know, Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb having just, you know, nut matchups that we're just super interested in. I'm just like, they're going to have to drag Burrow along. Right.
Yeah.
So I just,
if they both go hard, he has to go hard. That's kind of the theory there, right?
Yeah. So how could I have him quarterback 10? I mean, like, what, like who am I going to put ahead of him?
You're just right. Bad process. That's just bad process on my half. All right. One more thing about the Jag side. You already mentioned Etienne. Love that. Tight end with Brenton Strange. I went on hung out with a buddy this morning, and he was telling me how he got Brenton Strange for free in his redraft league, which I didn't think was a thing. I thought people were bidding on him on Tuesday, but he said Juwan Johnson went for 49% of fab in this league.
Whoa.
He's like,
a 14 teamer?
He's like, bro, I bid 8% on Juwan Johnson and I didn't get him. So I just added Brenton Strange. Here's a stat for Strange, who took over for Evan Engram this year. He ran 70% of the team's routes and he got a 14% target share. Each of the four games last year that Strange ran 70% of the snaps, 70% of the routes, and had a 10% target share or better, he scored 9.5 PPR points or more. So he profiles as a tight end one against the Bengals, who gave up 15 targets last week against the Browns tight ends as well. And I think, I mean, as long as it's like that, it was kind of like you look at the Evan Engram game log, it was kind of similar as far as if you ran the routes, you were going to get targeted. And if you got targeted, you obviously scored the fantasy points under Trevor Lawrence.
A lot of questions on rosterwatch.com this week. And again, you can go to rosterwatch.com, get all of our rankings, get our player prop cheat sheet, get the DFS tools, all of that stuff with a pro or a premium membership over at RosterWatch, along with those betting tools and things that we were referencing earlier. Just so much stuff over there and such a great community. Thanks to everybody that signed up for a pro membership or a premium membership. We couldn't do this without all you guys.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
But some of the questions coming in this week, dude, in this game too, it's the Chiefs Eagles game, right? And so, whenever we look at this one, you were super low on Mahomes. Looks like you've come up on him a little bit, Cody. But you were low to start. This game features two players that people are just super duper worried about, and on the Eagles side, that's AJ Brown. And on the Kansas City side, that's Isaiah Pacheco. If you have those guys, what are you doing? I think I've been telling people, it's like, until we see something happen with this split with Pacheco, I think you kind of got to get him out of your flex for now. If you've got, you know, if you have decent other options, right? It's like there are guys that would have been drafted a good while after him that I might be, you know what I mean? Like, guys like Tyrone Tracy Jr. and stuff. It's not like he lit the world on fire last week, but like players like him, right? I think you can be considering, certainly what you could, I mean, like somebody asked about Zach Charbonnet versus Isaiah Pacheco. And I was like, dude, I don't like it's,
I think I play Charbonnet.
That's, it's just kind of hard. So like, where are you on Pacheco? And then what do you think about, I was talking on the Blitz earlier, and again, you can get the Blitz if you have a pro membership at Roster Watch or a all in package thing over there at Roto Grinders. But TJ was talking earlier, and this rang true to me because of the kind of slot wide receiver stuff versus the Chiefs. And with Dallas Goedert now out, we've seen Devontae Smith move into that role. And Devontae Smith has actually had a really good, apparently, I have not checked this, but it was from TJ's research. So this is via TJ's watch. But he says it's been Devontae Smith that's gone off recently against the Chiefs, not necessarily AJ Brown. We already know about the slot stuff versus the Chiefs. We also know that Devontae Smith typically, he's always been like, whenever Goddard's gone out, it's always kind of been smart to play Devontae Smith. And it's been rethinking a little bit about my ranking of him here this week. Just kind of interested in your thoughts on the game, or kind of what stands out to you. And what do you do about Pacheco and AJ Brown? Because I mean, I think if you have AJ Brown, you just keep playing him. You have him ranked super high this week, but he talk about a stinker of a game last week with a 4% target share, 11% air yards.
I'll say this. I think week one, a lot of people overreact aggressive. And dude, I don't know if you've tapped into the NFL Pro thing, but they added on to NFL Plus, the NFL Pro thing that is like PFF Ultimate that we can't get our hands on. Is it go like you can decipher like clicking on a player's name and it'll show every route they ran, period. You can just watch that all 22. And I went back and watched Cooper Kupp, watched some AJ Brown, and I'm seeing on Twitter everyone's like, Cooper Kupp sucks. AJ Brown, he looks like he's hurt. And I think they're both fine. I think they were just, the Kupp thing we can talk about later, but I mean, Sam Darnold was getting his face, he's had defenders in his face the whole day. AJ Brown, I think it was just nature of just how the game unfolded. I think he's fine. I think he's a disgusting value this week in DFS at 6,600. I have him as wide receiver 3 overall. Ran 97% of the routes, tied with Devonta Smith. I mean, he's AJ Brown. He's an alpha. Like, this is guys like this don't just be quiet. Like, and they're just, oh, this guy sucks. He's hurt. Like, he's not going to be out there running every single route if he's just hurt. Like, they would have taken him out. They would have gotten Jahan Dotson in there, who, was competent last week and had a big play. I love AJ Brown this week. Think he's due for a bounce back. He's got a phenomenal matchup against the Chiefs this week. I also think Devonta Smith is very playable. I think I got him at wide receiver 24 maybe.
Wherever I am on Devonta Smith, I'm too low after my conversation that we had on the Blitz earlier.
All three of us are right around that fringe wide receiver 2 area. It's like if you look at like the players around him, you know, Davante Adams against the Titans, I think I like Ricky Pearsall probably still better than him. McMillan gets Will Johnson this week. Will Johnson had a phenomenal week one.
Yeah, but see, there's no way. It's just like I need to take this model output off of him because the model output's not accounting for no Goddard.
So if you take the model off of him, it moves him up ahead of Adams and right next to Pearsall. So that bumps him about what, six spots?
I mean, I think I would pull. Yes, I'm playing him over guys like DJ Moore and Keenan Allen. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
of course.
So I mean, I love Devonta Smith this week. I think that's, and then also the Goddard thing obviously comes into fruition. He's banged up, and it's like Kelsatera and is the run blocking guy who can catch a pass or two. Kylan Granson's going to be the, you know, if a tight end's targeted, it's going to be Kylan Granson. It feels like in this game if Goddard's out, but this feels like the big dog game. It's the 4:25 kick, Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl rematch. I think the big time players make big time plays, and they're going to come to play. So I mean, you're playing all these guys. You're not sitting anybody. I kind of wrote fade Saquon Barkley in my write up, but it's not to the extent of like you're benching him. He's a stud, so you're playing him. It's more of a fade in like the DFS side of things.
You're a lot higher. I think you're a lot. No. You're not that much higher. I was actually looking at I was looking at the wrong thing here. You're not higher on Pacheco than the rest of us. So, like, what do you say to the people that have Pacheco? Only play him if you really need to.
Dude, the Pacheco thing is like, the Pacheco thing is a complete fade for me. You looked at the snaps last week. He had 28 snaps, 5 carries, 3 targets. Kareem Hunt, the dust of that corpse, had 23 snaps, 5 carries, 3 targets. They basically are a pure split. And then Breshard Smith had 8 snaps, but did not carry the football, nor was he targeted. And it was a completely negative game script game last week against the Chargers. They were down the whole time. The offensive line is graded out as the 28th best run blocking unit. It was 8th last year. And I know they played against the Chargers, but the Chargers, like, they're good. They lost Puna Ford. They're not a daunting run defense on the interior. So I wonder why the Chiefs really struggled there as far as the grading goes. But again, they're a bottom 5 run blocking team through week 1. I'll see if that bounces back, but this backfield is a complete stay away for me.
You mentioned the Cooper Kupp earlier. We might as well just kind of hit on that game a little bit. I think it's interesting, and I'd like to hear whether you're buying in to the whole Aaron Rodgers actually kind of being okay thing. The Seahawks here go to Seattle. Sam Darnold going across the country for a noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, West Coast to East Coast game. They're getting 3 points here on this one. 37% of the tickets on DraftKings are right now on this Seattle Seahawks. 45% of the money. So pretty commiserate there. It looks like most people like the Steelers, and there's 2/3 of the money here on the Steelers in this one, -3. Is in our circuit contest, is that -3 or is that -2.5?
I think it's 3 because I texted you guys and I think I said I liked it. I think it was 3.
So speaking of the wide receiver model, it's like this is not our wide receiver rankings, but if you just look at all the statistics that I really like for wide receivers that I add into the model to kind of offset what it is that our eyeballs tell us, and you know, when we look at the data and stuff, just to make sure that I'm paying attention to the things I care about, it says that it likes JSN best of anybody on the whole slate. So just that's something to keep in mind. I'm interested in playing JSN this week. His peripherals looked really, really good from week 1. Of course, that, you know, it's an idiot computer. It can't take everything into consideration. But if you want to know what the model has been known by people as the computer genius, he's made some genius calls in the past. And to have JSN as wide receiver 1 on the week could be really, really smooth brained. But I just wanted to put it out there. You said that you like the way the Cooper Kupp looked, though. And what are you going to do with Kenneth Walker, man? Talk about another guy that we've gotten question after question about.
So I wouldn't say I don't know what you just said, if I liked or loved Cooper Kupp, but I'm not sure if I'm quite there on that front. But I don't mind him. He ran more routes than JSN. He ran 96% of the routes. JSN ran 88% of the routes. He was only targeted 3 times, though, at 3.5 points in his Seahawks debut. I think the craziest stat I saw for the week, and I think this probably assists in why the model and why the computer loves JSN is on fantasy points in their data suite. JSN had a 91% air yard share. Calvin Austin was number two in the NFL last week with 69%.
Yeah.
Obliterated. 91, like 90% is ridiculous. 75% is ridiculous. Three quarters of the air yards for the whole team. Like, that's the guy. And if you go back and I talked about NFL Pro earlier. So if you go back and watch just like the throws that Darnold had, where it was like, whether it was Cup or whether it was JSN or whether it was they targeted Arroyo a couple times. Everything was like, obviously the defenders were in his face. I think the Niners had like the number one or number two pass rush win rate last week against that putrid Seahawks offensive line. And it was constantly just like, as soon as he get hit, it was going to JSN. But didn't seem like it was much downfield. There's a couple throws that were downfield. But yeah, I think JSN, like the breakouts here, he's going to continue to get smashed with targets. I do think Cup's going to be a play, but not this week. That's more of, I'm looking down the line to like the Saints in a couple of weeks. For the Cup side of the conversation, the Charbonnet stuff with Ken Walker is a direct split. We talked about split with the Kansas City backfield, like kind of like this one more than the Kansas City backfield. Both these guys have is like back end RB2, top end RB3s this week, which isn't what you paid for, you know, Walker. It's kind of what you paid for Charbonnet. But last week they split the start of every single series. Every other series, it was Charbonnet, Walker. Charbonnet, every single series back and forth. It just so happened that Charbonnet played more snaps because his drives were more successful. So that's that. The Steelers give the ninth fewest rushing yards to running backs in 2024, but the third most in week one. I think they'll probably try to establish the run a little bit. Like I said, I don't love either of those guys this week. The only thing I'm really on Seattle that I like is JSN. For the Pittsburgh Steelers, Rodgers is interesting. You asked a question in our Circa conversation about like, why do you like the Steelers? And it's sort of Rodgers. Like, I have him kind of aggressively ranked, and he's just like out. He's not a QB one on the week or anything, but like, he's been hot since the last, like the back end of last year. They're 3-2 in his last five games played. His last five games, it's quarterback stat. Their wins, I'll give it to him. He scored 25 fantasy points this last week against his former team in the Jets. And I was like, is this an outlier? Kind of asking the same question like I did about Justin Fields. Like, is this a mirage? Like, is this just Rodgers getting back at his old team? It's his third time surpassing 25 fantasy points in the last five games, dating back to that Week 15 game against Jacksonville. Before that, Rodgers hadn't scored 25 fantasy points in a game since December 12th of 2021.
Ugh.
He threw for four touchdowns in that game as well against the Bears. But that was obviously 2021. That was MVP season. Then he had one more year in Green Bay. And then
they Achilles. Fans in the stadium.
That was 2020. That was the year after that. So 2020 was the COVID year. 2021, he won the MVP. 2022 toward the Achilles. 2023 was the bad year, right? Or am I off?
Whatever. 2021 was the year they wouldn't allow us to the combine. They wanted to do the cockamamie virtual combine.
So, but it's been a long time, right? It's been like over 1,000 days since this guy had a 25-point fantasy game. He's had three of them in the last five games. I think Rodgers is kind of hitting this, like, you know, a little bit of a stride. He's got some talent around him. Jonnu Smith looks great. He had a 20% target share. I think Jonnu Smith, you have to continue to treat like Jonnu Smith of last year. Eighth time in the last nine games, he's finished as a top 12 tight end.
You can't treat Jonnu like the Jonnu of last year.
Why?
Because the Jonnu of last year was an epic all-time smash.
He's going to continue to be an all-time smash. That's what I'm saying. He had a 21% target share and 53% of the routes, and he finishes a top 12 tight end again, which is the eighth time in his last nine games played. I think he's going to continue on that trek. Like, Jonnu, like, we saw Calvin Austin get targeted. We'll see how long Calvin Austin stays healthy. Ben Skronik caught a touchdown by luck. I don't think that's going to happen on a weekly basis. It might be his new Alan Lazard. I don't think it is. DK Metcalf is DK Metcalf. But I think Jonnu, 21% target share in week one for Jonnu in his debut with the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. I love that. So I ranked him aggressively this week as well, and I'm just going to continue to ride this Jonnu Smith wave.
Yeah. We okay.
You're out on Jonnu?
No, I'm not out on Jonnu, but it can't be like it was last season whenever McDaniel just said, like, I'm just going to and focus the offense around this dude if Tyreek's not going to be, you know, be any good.
Well, here's the thing. Like, you look at the backfield, right? Kenny Gainwell's playing in Jalen Warren's role from last year. Jalen Warren's playing the Najee Harris role. Neither of those guys are really equipped for either role. Kenny Gainwell probably more so than Warren. And they're not playing Caleb Johnson. I mean, I think Warren's a decent play this week against Seattle, but I kind of just want to be hands off of that backfield. Nobody ran more 12 personnel than the Steelers last week, 53%, according to Sumer Sports. Only the Steelers and Browns had hit the 50% threshold. Last year, nobody hit over 35% of the snaps in 12 personnel. And for the Steelers last year, they were at 25%, and now they're running 53% of the time. So probably see that adjusting come down a little bit, but with the players they have and the personnel they have, like running 12 personnel, having Freiermuth and Johnu on the field together with Metcalf and one of these backs, like I think that's the Steelers are a good football team. Are they great? I'm not quite there. The pass rush doesn't quite look like it would have did it last year. I think it'll catch up. I think it'll get in Sam Darnold's face. I think the Steelers dominate this football game. But man, I love Rodgers and I love Johnu this week. I think that's your Grody play of the week in DFS is Rodgers Johnu with a little JSN in there.
All right. Well, it's about time to start getting in all of our prize picks and underdog and stuff like that. Get those entries in because it looks like Trash Man's entered in his player props for the weekend on the Roster Watch player prop cheat sheet. I know that Cody, you got yours up Wednesday night. I got all my stuff up Thursday. For our pro members and premium, I guess for our premium members who get the prep player props, you guys should know that, you know, we start putting those up like on Tuesday nights and Wednesdays, and just make sure you go and you're checking because sometimes we get those in early and they can change, and hopefully they change to benefit us. Sometimes like last week, there were some that we got and we ended up getting the line where it even wasn't quite as good or whatever, but there were some that we got, like mainly Travion Henderson. It wouldn't have mattered anyway, but by the time you got to, you know, Sunday right at lock, you couldn't get the 2.5 receptions over anymore. It was all sitting at 3 and 3.5. So make sure you check and you get them early. Trash Man just got his in.
He's going back to the touchdowns.
Going back to these touchdowns. You want to give out your favorite prop from the weekend. Well, how about we give out Trash Man's lazy one that he just goes in there and just clicks through it. He's looking through a menu at a sports bar, and he just kind of is like, give me this. So Trash Man, let's just give him this one. I really love a few of these, but we'll give out Trash Man's Jamar Chase touchdown.
He's going to take this every week, isn't he?
Yeah. Well,
this could be the Trash Man bit. You just take a Jamar Chase touchdown every week until they kill you for it.
It's probably not a bad idea. I think the Jamar Chase goes nuclear this week.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good play. I like Brian Thomas. I mean, everything they told us, Brian Thomas, first quarter, 12.5 receiving yards. And we saw Liam Cohen come out of the game last weekend, and he was just ticked off. The head coach for the Jags, he was just ticked off. He's like, we started the game. We had this play drawn up for Brian Thomas. The ball didn't go there. We had this play drawn up. I think they're going to come out that first drive against the Bengals, and it's going to be like, you know, that it's going to be that stat line where you look up and the Bengals game's not on the TV for whatever reason. The red zone pops over to it, and all of a sudden they're in the red zone. And it's like Brian Thomas, 3 for 39 in the first drive of the game. And he's going to blow past this number. It's 12.5 first quarter all receiving yards is what it's set at. This one I got over on Prize Picks. You have to, you know, look for first quarter. It's not just going to be under the normal NFL tab. It's going to be NFL 1Q. So to dig in for that one. But I mean, Brian Thomas, that feels like a hammer this week. It's just like they want to get this guy the ball. Travis Hunter's going to play more defense than offense. This is Brian Thomas's world.
I mean, I love all mine.
this Gibbs thing, you're going back to it?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I took Jahmyr Gibbs over 17.5 yards, longest rush. And I didn't want to get on it last week because we had it, you know, I had it on the cheat sheet all the time last year. There were like probably three times or something that it didn't hit. And I didn't want to do it last week because I was a tiny bit worried about the matchup on the matchup tool. And I wanted to see what it looked like with the new offensive line pieces that they had. Right. I felt like that was an important thing to consider. And so, last week it didn't hit, but I think he did have a long rush. I went and looked at it. I don't remember off the top 14. Of my head. Yeah, it was 14. So it was kind of close. Even as long, you know, last week was there. For this one, for me, it was super simple. This thing has been the Jahmyr Gibbs over on the longest rush has been one that I could probably pull up the cheat sheet from last year and just.
That's what I'm literally just doing. I was like, going to see control.
How many times I did it and how many times it hit. It was like.
Gibbs, you took 9 times last year. It was 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, 5-1, 5-2, 6-2, 7-2.
Okay, so it was 7-2 last year whenever I did this. It was just like that, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs is awesome. He had a down week. I think he's going to bounce back this week when people are talking about how he's not any good anymore.
Overreaction.
Yeah, and on the matchup tool, this matchup for opposing running backs is the number Chicago is it's showing is the number 5 matchup for opposing running backs this week.
Yeah.
So just give me Jahmyr Gibbs, give me the 17.5. Anything else for the people before we get out of here, Cody? Any kind of last minute tips for week two here?
I would just say, like, don't overreact. Like we talked about a couple of times today with like AJ Brown. I know people are ticked off about the Jaden Daniels thing. He already played last night. Jahmyr Gibbs. It's you know, in all these situations, unless it's like the Ken Walker thing or the Pacheco stuff where it's a complete split and it's putrid run blocking, it's putrid situations. If it's a superstar, like just trust your studs in week two and don't hesitate and don't think like, oh man, should I really run out there and play Brian Thomas? Because, you know, I don't know. Like, should I play Brian Thomas or should I play like, you know, I don't know. Name some, like, you know, should I play Christian? You know, Christian Kirk's probably not going to play, a bad example, but you get what I'm saying. Like, don't fade a guy that's a stud that you spent that draft capital on to believe him. And just because he had a down week one, it's not going to be like that all year for most of these guys. My one question for you though, Alex, is, you know, we're working on getting our 5 picks in for Circa. You brought the Lions Bears game. Lions Bears is a 5.5 number. And I kind of like the Bears outright.
You like the Bears outright? Well, then I have terrible news for you. Because there's one man who you say that you should never be on the same side of in any of these bets. Who likes the Bears outright in this one for my other Circa entry. And you know very well what his name is. And his name is Siege.